The Iran situation has moved extremely fast this week, and I want to make sure we give it the full treatment it deserves, because the implications stretch well beyond the immediate military exchange. Kuwait halting flights after Iranian strikes closed the airspace is the detail that crystallizes just how much regional disruption this conflict is generating. Kuwait International Airport is a major transit hub for the Gulf. It handles a substantial portion of passenger and cargo traffic connecting South Asia to Europe. When flights stop there, you're talking about ripple effects for airlines, freight, and supply chains across a wide arc of the globe.
To frame the political debate in Washington, Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut has called the Iran war the greatest foreign policy disaster in 20 years. That framing, 20 years, is specifically pointing back to the 2003 Iraq invasion, which Murphy and most Democrats view as the defining, catastrophic miscalculation of the post-9 or 11 era. Murphy is essentially arguing that the current administration has repeated that same error, that military strikes on Iran have destabilized the region without achieving clear objectives, and that the diplomatic off-ramps were abandoned prematurely.
The counterargument from the administration's defenders is that Iranian nuclear progress required a military response, that the diplomatic track had been exhausted, and that allowing Iran to cross certain thresholds would have been more destabilizing than the strikes themselves. But the response from Tehran is now escalating that risk calculus. A senior advisor to Iran's Supreme Leader Khamenei has stated publicly that if U.S. strikes continue, Iran will shift from its current posture of retaliatory strikes to what they're calling a full-scale invasion, presumably meaning a dramatic escalation of attacks on U.S. forces and allies throughout the region, not a conventional ground invasion.
That statement needs to be parsed carefully. Iran's military doctrine under Khamenei has long relied on what they call strategic patience, absorbing pressure and responding through proxies and asymmetric means rather than direct confrontation that could invite overwhelming retaliation. For a senior advisor, to publicly threaten a shift away from that doctrine is either a genuine signal that Tehran's internal calculus has changed, or it's a messaging play designed to deter further U.S. strikes by raising the perceived cost. Distinguishing between those two possibilities is critical for policymakers right now.
The regional knock-on effects are already materializing. Kuwait's flight halt is one data point. Insurance premiums for shipping in the Gulf have spiked. Gulf Cooperation Council members are in an extremely uncomfortable position. They have deep economic ties to the United States and deep vulnerability to Iranian retaliation simultaneously. Countries like the UAE and Qatar host major U.S. military installations, which makes them potential targets if Iran decides to broaden its strikes. The pressure on those governments to push for de-escalation is enormous. And that's where I think the diplomatic action will be in the coming weeks, if there's any diplomatic action at all.
Murphy's 20-year framing is politically powerful, but worth scrutinizing. The Iraq comparison holds in some ways, the absence of a clear endgame, the underestimation of regional blowback, but Iran is a fundamentally different adversary from Saddam Hussein's Iraq. Iran has a sophisticated ballistic missile program, a network of proxy forces from Lebanon to Yemen to Iraq itself, and a genuine domestic political structure that can mobilize nationalist sentiment in ways that Saddam's hollow state could not. The dynamics of any prolonged conflict would be substantially different, and that's both a reason for caution about escalation and a reason why the administration's strategic logic that the window for action was closing has some internal coherence, even if you disagree with the conclusion.